Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. This morning we begin our summer sermon series, which is on the life of Abraham, called Walking with Abraham. And we will be looking together at several chapters from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And today we are in chapter 12, and we will read together the first three verses. I invite you to join with me in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is known here as Abram. God will eventually change his name to Abraham, but he is still Abram. So the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." It was a couple of months before I was going to graduate from college with my degree in chemical engineering. And I was having lunch in the engineering school cafeteria with several other people from my graduating class, and the topic was a kind of a favorite topic of this group. How many job offers have you received, and how much are they going to pay you? That was a fun conversation there toward the end of our college career. And it was a good time to be a chemical engineer. And so people had great stories of interview trips they'd been and what they were being offered and where in the country they were thinking of going and all those kinds of things. Well, eventually the conversation came around to me and someone said, "So Steve, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, Laura and I are going to work with junior high kids at our church." Well, the looks on everybody's face was just incredulous. I mean, it was like I was disputing the laws of thermodynamics or something. They just couldn't believe it, you know, that I would even consider doing something like that. In fact, one of them said to me, I still can picture him saying this. He said, "Why would you do that? Why would you do that?" Well, why would Lori and I do that? Why would Abram leave his country, his homeland, his culture, most of his family, and go to some unknown place that God wouldn't even show him on the map yet? Why, when God calls, do we go? We go because we trust God. We go because we trust God. Now, it's important in sharing stories, whether it's a story of Abram or a story from my own life, to recognize that as Christians, that while all of us is called, and the Bible is very clear about this, God calls all of us, and it's not just a one-time thing, and it's not often a really huge thing, like having to do with your career or having to move someplace far away that you haven't even been told yet where that is. God calls us daily in all kinds of ways. Sometimes they're big, but more often than not, they're pretty small. The consequences are not huge, but yet the reality of God's call is there that we may enter into with Him the work that He is doing in the world. Now, of course, we're not all over the world. We're one person in one particular place. So it's the work that God is doing within what we might call our own personal sphere of influence. Our family, our friends, our place of work, our neighborhood.
the people that we gather with, to fellowship with, and enjoy time with. That would be our sphere of influence. And God has a purpose for us within that sphere of influence to further His kingdom, to share Him in all the multifaceted ways in which He reveals Himself with others. Each one of us receives a call. And because we are unique to God, God has created us as individual persons, so the circumstances of His call in our lives will always be unique. God called Abram, God called Steve and Lori. Yes, the same God calling people to faith, to trust in Him, but the circumstances of our calls were, of course, very, very different. And so will be the circumstance of your call. But while our circumstances differ, the God who calls us, who has a purpose for us, and who promises to bless us and to be with us and to care for us as we follow His calling is the same God in each call. So what is common in the Christian call is the God who calls. What is unique is the way in which and that particular thing to which God may call us at any moment, at any particular time. It may be in your life right now that God is calling you to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a member of your family or perhaps with a friend, someone that you've come to know in your social circle. It might be that God is calling you today to be the first to apologize in a conflict that you're having with someone else in order that there might be restoration and healing in that relationship. God might be calling you today to take an inventory of the time that you have available to you in a given day, of the resources that you possess, be they material or other kind of things that you could offer to others, and to say, I want you to make them available to me because there are people in need that you will encounter this day. And I want you to follow my call to share some of what I have given you with, to share some of what I have given you with others. Indeed, so that like Abram, and God's purpose for Abram was to bless him so he would be a blessing, so is God's purpose for you and for me today, to bless us with whatever He has given us, that we may use it to bless others, and ultimately to bless God Himself as we, in obedience, go where He sends us. It could be that God is calling you to spend daily time in His Word and in prayer, to connect with Him on a daily basis. If God calls us to these things and all the other unique ways in which God, through His Holy Spirit, seeks to nudge us, seek to lead us into new situations, why is it so often difficult for us to go? Well, one of the reasons is there always seems to be something that we have to leave behind. There always seems to be some risk of losing something, some danger of encountering something that may be uncomfortable, a new situation. There may be something that we just fear about the possibility of going and doing what God is asking us to do. What if I do share the gospel with that particular person? And they reject me. And they reject the gospel. What then? Maybe God really isn't calling me to that. What if I apologize and the person just throws that back in my face and says, see, I knew you were the one who was at fault. What if in sharing what you have with others, it is not appreciated? And besides, if you give away some of what you have, well, then you don't have it anymore. What if I need it? And what if you take some time to spend in God's Word and in prayer every day? Might that mean you don't have as much time for the newspaper or the TV? Yes, following God's call often can involve a risk of losing something that we find to be important to ourselves. But the promise of God's blessing, when we do answer when He calls, is that God always has something good for us. Indeed, something better. And we may not see it. We may not understand it. And indeed, people around us may not get it at all. Why would you do that? They say to us. And we say, because by faith we believe. God, when He says, I will be with you, I will bless you, I will use you in order to bless others. You will never lose if you follow me when I call you. Jim Elliot was an American missionary, and in 1956, he went into the jungles of Ecuador together with four other men, four other fellow missionaries, to share the gospel with an Indian tribe that had had very little contact with civilization prior to these five missionaries going in there. They believed that they had been called by God. They had sensed the Holy Spirit saying to them, there are people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And I want the five of you to go to this particular people group in this particular place and share the gospel with them. They had been there for a very short period of time when all five of them were killed by the Indians to whom they were witnessing. And many, upon hearing that, said things like, what a waste. What a failure. How could someone so misunderstand what God wanted for them? For clearly, this wasn't God's call in their life. They had totally misunderstood. See what happened to them. Nothing good can come out of this. It is dangerous to follow what you might think to be the call of God. You should have been much more careful. You're leaving wives behind. You're leaving children behind, family members behind. Could God really be calling Jim and his fellow missionaries into this kind of a situation and then allow their lives to be taken doing that which God called them to do? It was less than 2 years later that Elizabeth Elliot, Jim's wife, returned to that Ecuadorian Indian tribe together with their daughter and the sister of one of the other martyred missionaries. They went back that same group of people who had killed her husband, her brother, and the three other men. And they went back and they shared the gospel. And over time, many in that tribe came to Christ. Many in that tribe gave themselves to the Lord. And the story of Jim and Elizabeth Elliot is a story that many have heard. Maybe at least the names are familiar to you. God used them in a unique way, in a way that people could not foresee, in a way that seemed to be such a waste. As we go through the story of Abram, even after he becomes and is renamed by God Abraham later in Genesis, we will see that he was no perfect man. Oh, he was a man of faith. But things didn't always go as he had planned, as he had thought. God allowed certain things to happen that I'm sure he and his wife and others said, wait a minute, we must not have gotten this right. God must not be paying attention. A mistake has been made. But God is who he says he is, and he will fulfill his promises. I wonder how many people who saw Jesus hanging on that cross on that Friday said, glory, hallelujah, the purposes of God are being fulfilled in his Son. No one was saying that on that day that we're aware of. Certainly all the biblical witnesses are of failure and of loss and of fear and a sense of we had hoped, like the disciples on the road to Emmaus said in Luke chapter 20. We had hoped. We had thought. But clearly now, he's dead. It's over. It is so easy for us as human beings to look at our circumstances and to question God. And probably thereby, and the devil will use this in our lives to question ourselves. Am I really following God? Am I really listening to what God says? Surely God would not allow my husband to be killed in the jungles of Ecuador if he really called him to share the gospel. But that's not where Elizabeth Elliot went. She went back to those who killed her husband. And because of the Lord's continued work in that couple, in two very different ways, we one day will meet people in heaven, and we will hear the story from their lips of the love and grace of God revealed in the lives of his people, like Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. Jim Elliot kept a diary, and portions of that diary were published after his death. And one of the things he said he had written in his diary, clearly before he went into the Ecuadorian jungle, is this. You may have heard this before. He wrote in his diary, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to retain what he will never lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to retain what he cannot lose." Many called Jim Elliot a fool. I'm sure they're calling him a fool before he went in there, and certainly afterwards. See? What Jim gave up was his life. But he knew that he wasn't going to be able to retain his life. Whoever wishes to hold on to his life, Jesus said, will lose it. Jim said, "My life is yours, God. Use it as you will." Jim was no fool because he was willing to give up even his life because he knew he wasn't going to be able to hold on to it in order to gain something that he would never lose. In order to gain the blessing, in order to be used of God to be a blessing to others, in order to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who said to his disciples, "If you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross, having denied yourself, and then you can follow me." Is that a hard thing? Oh, it's a hard thing. I'm sure there are many who sat at home and said, "I'm not going to do what Jim's doing." But Jim went when God called. Abram went when God called. Laura and I in our lives have sought to go when God called. And you today, as I today, am reminded that God continues to call. And God asks us today, "Will you go where I will?" In our congregation, we have people, women and men, who are elected to serve on our church board. And it is a process by which a nominating committee considers prayerfully who are the people that they would like to ask to serve on our board. And then those people are asked to prayerfully consider, is this where God is leading? Is God calling you to serve on the board? Because to serve on the board of our church is not about being in a position of leadership or authority. It's not about getting to make pronouncements on behalf of the church. It's about listening to the call of God in this context on behalf of a congregation. Those who come onto the board, and every year we have new people who join the board as other people leave. We have three-year commitments that we ask people to serve. But as they come on the board, they join others who are already on their board and who will continue to serve with them. And our responsibility together is to seek the will of God for this congregation. as we talk about ministry, as different members of the board and each person on the board is involved in a particular area of church ministry, like youth ministry or worship ministry or service ministry, as well as serving together as the 15-person board. We seek God's will for this congregation. Where is God calling us to go, and what is God calling us to be? We do that through prayer. We do that through scripture. We do that by having conversation with others in the congregation, because God is working through others to share what the Holy Spirit has for our church. Because the pastor is not Lord of this church. The board is not Lord of this church. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is Lord of this church. And we want to go where He calls us. And we want to trust that He will bless us and that He will be with us. Because our desire as a church is not just to take care of our own little huddle. Our desire is to be blessed as a congregation, that we may bless others. And God knows how He wants to do that, and where He wants to do that, and when He wants to do that. It is part of the tradition of our church that when new members are elected by the congregation to serve on the church board in a Sunday morning worship service, we ask those elders, deacons, to be a part of the service by coming forward, and we pray for them. We pray that God would lead and guide them individually and corporately. Well, the past 2 years, because of COVID, we have not been able to gather those new members coming onto the board and pray for them, but today we are. And indeed, we're not only praying for those who are coming on and who will join the board here in July as our newest members, but we're also praying for the last two classes of members who came on the board, as I said, who we were not able to pray for in the past. The names are listed there if you want to look in your bulletin on the panel between the two worship outlines. Many of those were part of the first service and came forward and were prayed for. But I know that we have a couple here who are going to be serving and are serving on our church board. And so I'd like to invite you. I see Laureen, if you'd come forward, and Rana is here. If you would come forward. I looked at the names. I don't remember anybody else. I hope I'm not leaving anybody off. I'm sorry? We did pray for Beth in the first service, but you could always use a double dose. So we will pray for Beth again. God just has to work harder with some people, but that's just because I know Beth. So we're going to pray for Beth again, for Rana and for Laureen. And as we prepare to pray for them, I would invite anybody who has served on the board in the past here in our church, if you'd like to come forward, you don't have to, but if you'd like to come forward and simply put your hands on a shoulder of one of these three ladies as together we pray. And we follow a biblical tradition where it says, pray for and lay hands on one another. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for Your call upon this church. For well over 100 years, this congregation has served here in the Lewis Clark Valley and beyond. And women and men have been called into leadership, called to be a part of a church board whose work is to discern where You would have us go as a congregation, the kinds of ministries that You would have us involved with, the kind of witness that we would be to one another and to the community in which we find ourselves. There have been difficult times, Lord. There have been times that we have been uncertain. There have been times when we're not sure exactly where You're leading us. But in all those times, together as a board and through the leadership of the board, as an entire congregation, we have sought still to trust You, to believe that if we are listening to Your call, that You will make that call evident to us, that You're not in the habit of hiding it or hoping that we could guess the right direction, but Lord, that You are true to the work of Your Holy Spirit individually as a part of each life of the member of the board, but also corporately in the life of our congregation. So this morning we pray specifically for Rana and for Beth and for Lorene. We thank you that they have answered the call to serve on the board. And we pray that you bless them, that you encourage them, that you give them clarity of thought when they are praying individually and personally, and when they're gathered with their fellow board members, as they think about where is the Lord leading us as a church. We thank you for those things that you have given us in the past that continue to be the same today. Those things, Lord, that we know are a part of your call, what it means to be faithful, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that we may know him and become like him and share him, to lift up your holy word, Scripture, from which we draw the source for our preaching and our teaching as a congregation, and it is our authority for life and for witness. Yes, there are many things that we know are right, we already know are part of your call because you revealed it, but there are many details, Lord, that sometimes we're not quite sure about. These past 2 years with COVID have been difficult, and yet the board gathered month after month and had conversations and then made certain decisions about how we as a congregation were going to move through this time, what we were going to be able to do and what we needed to stop doing for a while. Those were not easy decisions. Those were not decisions that were lightly made, but they were the decisions, Lord, where we had sought your guidance. And we thank you, Lord, for faithfully guiding us and continuing to bless us during this season. And so we're so grateful today that we can pray for these three and for all those who are part of the first service, that collectively as they continue to serve as the board of this church, they will be following the call of God upon their lives and upon the life of this congregation. Where you call us, Lord, we desire to go as a church. Bless them, Lord, I pray. And I thank you for those who came forward here who laid their hands on them. I thank you for their service in the past. And I pray, Lord, that all of us together may continue to support our current board members. All of us together continue to pray for them and continue to be in conversation with them as together we discern the Spirit's leading where God calls Congregational Presbyterian Church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.